Hey everyone, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research, papers, and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York and Scottish Rite Mason, as well as Knight Templar. Well, last week we got off to a bit of a late start. I got a bit behind. Hopefully, back on track this week. I announced on Friday morning that I was nominated for a kind of special Masonic chapter. It's called the AMD, which stands for Allied Masonic Degrees. It is by invitation only, and each chapter can only have 27 members. Once you are a member, you are one of that chapter's 27 for life. You may not petition to become an AMD. You have to wait to be nominated, and only if someone dies do you ever get in. I was shocked to find out not only was I nominated, I was accepted as well. Although I feel a certain bittersweet to it all, because if I made it in, then that means we lost a brother. I can only hope to live up to the standards and honor of our fallen brothers. For this, I am told that I must also complete a research paper, and I have about 3 months to do it. I was also asked, what exactly does the AMD do, by some folks on the Facebook page. So rather than spit my own words about what it is, I'll read a short description from the website. The Allied Masonic Degrees are an invitational organization and requires membership in the Royal Arch as well as the Symbolic Lodge. Membership is limited to 27 members per council. The Allied Masonic Degrees are detached degrees, some of which, many years ago, were conferred under craft warrants and formed part of the then loosely governed Freemasonry of the period. Many of these detached degrees became dormant in some places, although in others they were conferred as side degrees. In time, the better of these degrees were grouped together in an organized body under the title of Allied Masonic Degrees. The degrees compromising the system in our jurisdiction in the United States of America are the Royal Arch Mariner, Secret Monitor, Knight of Constantinople, St. Lawrence the Martyr, Architect, Superintendent, Grand Tylers of Solomon, Master of Tyre, Excellent Master, Installed Sovereign Master, Installed Commander Noah, Red Branch of Aerie, and Yea Ancient Order of Corks. They are conferred in the United States in councils chartered by the Grand Council. Each council is limited to 27 members, with two exceptions. One of these councils is known as the Council of Nine Muses and is limited to 9 members. The other is the Grand Master's Council, which has what is known as the Roving Charter. The purpose of the latter council is to provide a place of membership, and the membership in every council of Allied Masonic Degrees is by invitation, and is predicated on membership in the Royal Arch Chapter. In addition to perpetuating these degrees, there is still another and equally important purpose. It is to bring together in small groups Freemasons who are interested in the advancement of all Masonry, preparing themselves to better serve the craft through the medium of study and research. By limiting the membership in a council and securing membership only by invitation, the result is a congenial group able to enjoy full fellowship when meeting together. Wherever there is an active council of Allied Masonic Degrees, it exerts an influence for the betterment of Freemasonry in all Masonic bodies. There is no intention on the part of Allied Masonic Degrees to detract from any organized and established body of Masonry. On the contrary, you will find our members active beyond the average in all local Masonic bodies. The real purpose is to stimulate interest in Masonry in general and bring together in small groups those who are interested in the study of Masonic subjects. Thus, they are better enabled to serve the craft. The Grand Council of Allied Masonic Degrees of the United States of America shall control and superintend the following grades, with descriptions. The Royal Arch Mariner, Secret Monitor, Brotherhood of David and Jonathan, which is the induction, Brotherhood of David and Jonathan, admission of a prince, Installed Supreme Ruler, St. Lawrence the Martyr, Grand Tylers of Solomon, Knights of Constantinople, Architect, Grand Architect, Superintendent, Master of Tyre, Excellent Master, Installed Sovereign Master, Installed Commander Noah, Royal Order of the Red Branch of Aerie, and Appendant Orders including Man-at-Arms, Esquire, and Knight, and Yea Ancient Order of Corks. Alright, let's jump right in, starting with this week's Masonic paper, which is from the Knight Templar magazine, entitled The Holy Sepulchre or the Garden Tomb. The Holy Sepulchre or the Garden Tomb by Sir Knight Joseph M. Gilbert. Sir Knight's Shades article, Guard the Sepulchre, an account of the history of the Tomb of Christ from an archaeological perspective, Knight Templar, June 2012, is an excellent compression of a multi-century archaeological history. It takes the reader through a long, often historical, disconnected series of events that have led to a current perspective that this location is the traditionally accepted burial site of Jesus Christ. I compliment him on his guide through that difficult historic journey. The discovered archaeological history is, however, replete with caveats that cause the reader to pause, such phrases as, for reasons never stated, apparently, and presumably, reinforce factual status that this location is only accepted as the traditional site of Christ's tomb. It lacks any solid evidence on which to base a more definitive claim of authenticity. Per the author, the first visual evidence was over 400 years old, and that constituted drawings. We do not actually know what it read, what it really looked like, so the drawings may be inaccurate. Further statements such as, depends on the assumption, reinforce this limitation of authenticity. The author further amplifies this uncertainty in his own statement that everything learned, but there is no proof. That statement is true. There is no proof that this site is the actual burial site of Jesus Christ. Further, the author's assertion that the known facts can only be interpreted in light of existing knowledge of Jewish burial practices, by its face, eliminates other considerations, if only one interpretation is acceptable. Likewise, his assertion of logical reasons is suspect, as no such reasons are given. All of what the author describes may be true. The tomb of the Holy Sepulchre may be the burial tomb of Christ, but the author, by his own words, of focusing on only one source, stretches the credibility of the assertion that the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre is the tomb of Christ. The additional uncertainties properly included by the author also raise real questions about the validity of this claim. The author makes passing mention of the garden tomb, and then only as an example of what might have been such a tomb 2,000 years ago. The garden tomb is much more than a mere example. 1. It is located adjacent to a hill so resembling a skull as to be frighteningly eerie. 2. It has a passing roadway at the base of the skull, where the condemned and crucified were observed, mocked, ridiculed, and insulted, and where close proximity to the torture of the cross ensured that those observing would clearly recognize the awful punishment for any who threatened or challenged the power of Rome. 3. It is outside the city. 4. There is a garden there, one which archaeologists tell us belonged to a wealthy person. 5. There is a tomb which requires one to stoop, and the features inside the tomb are of biblical descriptions. The features which are described as absent at the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre are precisely presented at the garden tomb. The tomb of the Holy Sepulchre may in fact be the burial place of Jesus Christ. However, there is a growing body of archaeological evidence to the contrary. Based on the location, the proximity to a very probable site of Golgotha, and the roadway, the location outside the city, a garden of wealthy man, and a tomb of precise biblical description, the garden tomb is more likely the actual burial site of Christ. This is evidence-based, not based on apparent data, presumed information, visual evidence. 400 years old when first recorded, limitations on considerations of other options, unsubstantiated logical reasons, and assumption. Although not as well known or as highly publicized as the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre, the garden tomb deserves at least equal consideration as the actual burial site of Jesus Christ. It may well be that that assumption, which is basically the entire foundation of the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre's claim, is an invalid assumption, thus vitiating the claim of the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre. Like Sir Nightshade, I too have had the opportunity to visit the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre. Personally, the commercialization and publicity there far outweighed its religious contribution. I found no peace there. I also had the opportunity to visit the garden tomb, to observe Golgotha, to walk through the garden, and to actually enter a tomb, more probably the tomb. There I truly felt I was walking where Jesus trod, and I truly felt his presence there. Either the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre or the garden tomb may be the burial site of Christ, or it may be that even another location, lost in obscurity to the darkness of unrecorded history, has the valid claim. We may never know with certainty, but wherever the actual tomb site of Christ is or was, we absolutely know where certainty it is empty. Sir Knight Joseph Gilbert also took the photos in the article above. He is Senior Warden of Cyrene Commandery No. 42 in Dayton, Tennessee. Now again, that's from the Knight Templar magazine, November of 2012, and that will be the downloadable feature for this week on the app. Now I need to take a moment to mention our Android app and Apple app, which let you listen streaming and even download the episodes so you can listen whenever you want, even in no service zones or on an airplane. In addition, you will get access to bonus features, which consists of the papers that we read, and also mobile wallpapers, which are Masonically themed. Also, you can check out Stitcher Smart Radio, which is an alternative. It works the same way, except without the bonus features. Just be sure that you use the promo code WENCECAMU with no spaces so that the folks at Stitcher send us a dollar to keep the lights on. I also want to mention I haven't had anybody email me over submissions to what book you'd like me to put as the extra on the WENCECAMU Android and Apple app for kind of a holiday gift for you guys. Last year I did Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma in its entirety in PDF. Lots of people downloaded it. Free book. PDF. Let me know what Masonic book to try to go for, and we'll see if we can't get that up. This week's famous Freemason is Harlan David Sanders. Okay, so who is Harlan David Sanders? Well, he was born September 9th, 1890, and he passed away December 16th, 1980. He was an American businessman and founder of the Kentucky Fried Chicken Restaurant. Harlan David Sanders started the business in 1952 and he sold it in 1964, although he remained their corporate spokesperson until his death. Governor Ruby LaFoon made him a Kentucky colonel in 1935 in recognition of his contributions to the state's cuisine, and in 1939 his establishment was first listed in Duncan Hines' Adventures in Good Eating. Brother Sanders was initiated on April 6, 1917. He later demitted on February 27th, 1920. He was from Lodge number 651 in Indiana, Henryville, Indiana to be exact. Later he resumed his Masonic career and he was passed to the degree of Fellowcraft, raised to the sublime degree in courtesy to 651 Indiana by Clark 40, Indiana. Also affiliated October 27th, 1953, demitted from 651, April 13th, 1976, Hugh Harris Lodge number 938, Corbin Whitley County in Kentucky. So a kind of a broad and in and out career within Masonry, but certainly was with the craft from 1917 all the way to 1976, 3 years before he had passed away. Okay, that's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at WhenceCameU. We're also on Pinterest, on Tumblr, pretty much every social media site you can find us, just by typing in either WhenceCameU or our email address, wcypodcast@gmail.com. That's also our handle there for the Google Plus social media experience as well. Remember to send on those submissions for whatever book you think you guys would want. For WhenceCameU, I'm Robert Johnson.